This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, hello, welcome to the 23rd of May 2018. My name is Ben Karpinski, and with me is Sia Sangweni.
That was very announcer-ish.
Well, Sia, what if you're just strolling through the podcast? Like, some people do, like, binges, okay?
All right.
And then it's like, where am I? Oh, it's 23rd of May, okay, cool, that means they're going to talk about this.
About this day in history.
Yeah,
if you're listening to us in the future, yes, that's it.
Yeah, that too. And Tavi Singh is here. And Tavi Singh, how are you doing?
Morning, I'm all right, thanks. And how are you?
Very good. How is your internship time of learning coming along with us?
Very well, actually. Very interesting, but not too bad.
Okay. Who are your favorite people so far?
I think, isn't that such an obvious question?
Sia, you always think it's you, but you know, people always go, oh, I always love this place, but I just found Sia was hard work. I was like,
who has ever said that?
Well, Sia, you don't know this, but I actually do the exit interviews around here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so people come and go. It's basically Jen Malachi and I sit together, and we just get, you know, what's going on in this place, what people's feedback is. And often you test quite poorly, actually.
I'm surprised. I didn't even know we did exit interviews around here.
It's top secret. I just reveal it to you right now.
Okay. And these people say, what about, for example, you then?
Learned so much from me. Very insightful, very patient. They always find me surprisingly pleasant as well.
Yeah. Okay, and Tavi Singh, over to you then.
So, but like, obviously you've come here and you've seen Gareth in action, and Gareth's very good at what he does. There's my buddy Malo in the news. Like, you know, have you found people you have learned from so far? I'm not putting you on the spot here. I'm just more curious.
No, absolutely not. I've learned a lot from everybody because I think everybody contributes, you know, to the bigger picture, not only of the show, but of the whole, everything, actually.
You know?
Such a diplomatic answer.
But how smart is she? Because it's exactly what we're good at. That's what I've always thought. Everyone does their own little thing. I mean, young Gordon's here. He'll be in there a second.
Yeah.
Mavadi Maloy is here on my left. And it's right, because we all pull together. And we pull together a show for you.
Yeah.
Gord, if you can sit in that mic today.
Why does everyone look so good today?
Yeah.
Okay, not to say we're all really slums, but everyone really looks like...
Gord's in a trouser.
Like a full bunt.
Yeah, Gord.
Not the shortest of shorts.
This is the first time you haven't come in here exposing your shins.
I've never seen him not in a little short bunt.
I was actually in a long pant last week, but I'm glad you guys noticed now. It takes here to notice.
Like, okay, here's the situation. Gord is in a long bun. Ben is in this, this creamy.
Oh, and it deserved
that
an
is a jacket
ooh.
Of note, Ben.
I'm
not going to lie.
Slanty eyes from Sia there.
No, look, the color is delectable. It's like this creamy, chocolatey, camel brown.
And it's got
leather
like a leathery
jacket.
Vinyl
yes,
kind of feel to it.
But, and do you know what the mark of a true, like, well put together outfit for a dude is?
I do not know.
If he has at least two items that match. So Ben is coordinating the jacket with these formal pointy shoes.
Oh my God, he's got a pointy leather skin.
They're not overly pointy, guys. They're just angular.
I feel like your description should have been accompanied by silks. Let me lick you up and down till you say stop.
No, I'm just painting the picture.
Thankfully it didn't.
Mabale Maloy. Anyway, take the compliment, Ben.
And then
Mabale Maloy is in this high-waisted, very... high-powered woman in a boardroom skirt. It says, I have sass, but I'm in charge.
Sure, see,
I know you are a babe of note, Mabs. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, thanks, guys.
I think the way everyone gets their outfit described in great detail is like Gord's wearing pants. Set the expectations low and then meet them.
Well,
that's been my vibe forever.
You and Sia are in the same WhatsApp group because you are you guys are married and committed to the color black. That's all I see either one of you ever wear.
Well, Gord can't wear like peach with all those tattoos. It just wouldn't work.
I mean,
he would really battle with like aquamarine blue.
It would bring out his eyes. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm expressing my religious beliefs and the general demeanor of my soul underneath this facade of chipperness.
Jeez. Okay. Do you want to go and like bite the head off a pigeon now?
But I've never noticed that you only wear blacks here. Is it you are today, but is that a thing?
You've just offended him to like another level.
Yeah. Nice.
Are you telling me you don't fixate over what Sia looks like every single time you see her?
Based on his physical features, not the outfits.
Oh, I was waiting for
underneath
content of
nice
the
save.
Character, not the something.
I don't know how this conversation can go any weirder, but let's keep going.
So how's everybody even bloody doing?
Yeah, solid, Gord. I of course, saw Gord more than anyone last week. I saw him twice.
Yeah.
Where was
we even sat next to each other.
Oh,
We did, didn't we? Mm. We did. We sat next to
you. Oh, you guys went to watch Deadpool together.
Yeah. And it was very cool.
You're like the movie impresario here. How did
I had to review a lot of movies for a lot of years, so I have a great love of movies. I've learned to endure a crap movie, but that wasn't the case with Deadpool. It was lots of fun. That Mall of Africa IMAX cinema thing is a bit, for me, a bit chaotic with the paying on the one side and collecting on the other side and the queues and whatnot. I find it a bit much.
Oh.
It's not my favorite cinema to go to.
Right.
But the IMAX screen is killer, and the movie was super good, and we went with a cool bunch of friends. I had a great night, y'all.
Yeah. Okay. And we watched it in 2D. Don't be sold by the 3D. It's a lot of hype, and ultimately it just leaves you
kind of a little seasick.
It's not good. I mean, they just haven't got 3D to the point where it's like, oh, well, I must watch that on 3D. Like, I've given it effort. I really have.
As well.
I've watched Star Wars. I've watched a variety of things where things come at you, and it's great. But still, nothing beats good, clear, incredibly impactful 2D movie.
Super HD.
On the IMAX, Super HD.
Yeah, there's that other one in Canal Walk. I remember, I can't remember what it's called. It's not IMAX, but it was like...
4D?
No, not 4DX. It was just a really massive, really high-definition screen. And they marketed it as being like one of the biggest HD screens in the Southern Hemisphere, and it's at Canal Walk. Someone can check or whatever, but it's bloody massive, and they opened it to coincide with the release of Rogue One. And when we got there, it was meant to be 3D, and we got there and we booked our tickets. It was like opening weekend, full booked out. We went, me and lady I was seeing at the time and some friends, and we went, and there was this poor dude whose job on the day was to tell everyone as they went in that the movie was unfortunately 2D because the wrong reel had arrived.
Oh,
that they could either have a free small popcorn or get refunded. And there were people having a strop, and there were women with feathered hair speaking to the manager. And so we went in, and I was like, this massive HD screen showing this movie in ultra clear 2D is like the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm so stoked there was this bugger up.
Because the 3D, it's like... 3 is maybe 85% there to what we want it to be, because everything we see nowadays is more HD. So, I mean, I know when I was trying to do that 360 filming, it's all good and well, but you'll get moments where you just have SD.
Oh, right.
And we just can't be doing with SD.
Boring old SD.
Right.
The most annoying thing about the 3D experience for me is, and it's completely my fault, the fact that each time I have to keep buying a new pair of those stupid glasses, because I always forget the original pair at home. And a lot of the time, you know, you're with little rugrats. So it's like 4, 5, 6 pairs of those glasses that you're buying at one go.
I just leave them on the counter on the way out, because when my car got stolen about, I don't know, 8 months ago, I'm not exaggerating when I say it must have been very close to double figures on the amount of 3D glasses that were in the cubby
hole. Yeah, it's a lot.
And that's why they stole your car, Gord.
For the 3D glasses. Yeah, might have had to do with the MacBook Pro and the iPad and the boot as well.
You could say that, but I think they were monitoring you over a period of months, and they said, this is the guy, he's got that 3D glass stash, we need it.
Yeah.
Well, because I also have an entire family who's basically as blind as bats, and they all wear glasses. Then when we try to go and watch something 3D, the entire half of the movie is taken up by their complaining, because then they can't see, then they need to take the glasses off and put the 3D glasses on.
You can't watch 3D without. Before I had LASIK, you had to put the 3D glasses over your regular glasses. That worked all right.
Yeah, that's what I got to do, and then I feel like I should have special parking. It's just not a good feeling.
But don't you find whether or not, for some movies it adds an element, but it's very rare, I think. But don't you find that 3D movies by and large are too dark? My one buddy, Josh, you met him this week, he's like a real film expert, and he reckons it's got something to do with the technology necessary to make the 3D work. Everything is a couple of clicks darker. I find sometimes in a movie where you would have a scene that's intentionally dark, but like still visible, in the 3D version, you actually can't see bloody anything. And Zack Snyder movies are always dark as fuck for no good reason, like the Justice League and Batman versus Superman especially, and those other garbage DC movies. Like, he shoots them dark to begin with. So then you make them 3D, and you're literally just looking for eyes and the occasional shiny object.
Yeah, and obviously these movies are professionally graded to a point. There is no mistake in how these things look. It's to amplify a certain scene, add drama, add suspense, all that kind of stuff. And when you're dicking around with it, what you just said, it's so true. But you know that, going back to the glasses, I told you the story last year that you get special 3D glasses, special 3D IMAX glasses. They're not the same 3D.
What are the differences?
I didn't know that.
Well, exactly. I didn't know that either. So I would go into the cinema with full pride. No, I've still got my 3D glasses from last time.
I'm like the first person ever to take their 3D glasses from last time and they're the wrong glasses.
I just had so many. And then it turns out they're the wrong glasses. They don't work in a 3D IMAX. So, like I'm watching the opera, I've got to turn them around, which then made me feel completely special.
Do you have to literally just turn them around?
Well, after about 20 minutes of squinting at a movie which I really wanted to watch and paid money to see, I just thought, well, let me try this. And then
it actually work.
Yeah,
I once watched
the doers holding glasses like a thingy.
That's when you just quickly pop out to the snack thing, get an extra popcorn.
Yeah, and I imagine the IMAX 3D glasses cost about the same that I pay for my car installment every month. I'm trying to figure out what the differences are.
They're sort of big, chunkier, more Roy Orbison-ish.
Yeah, for me, ideal situation is like an IMAX or whatever the hell that other thing's called at Canal Walk, a really bloody massive super HD screen watching a 2D movie with cool special effects like Rogue One or Deadpool. Deadpool was a jewel.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen Deadpool yet, and again, we've been saying this for ages and ages, you must go see it. Is that good? I've got into this rabbit hole, wormhole, whatever, of YouTube clips where they're just people, the cast are just talking about it. Because I often work with YouTube in the background, and then one video goes to another video.
Right.
And that's how you have it. So I know a lot about this movie.
This is tripping me out so badly, Gareth being in the wrong seat. I feel like Garth when they made Wayne's studio in the studio, and they were like, "That's not Wayne's basement, but it looks like Wayne's basement."
And I was stuck in some traffic. Sorry about that.
Well, I'm noticing something else. Noticing the wrong seat. I swear, everyone looks
also
good
smarter
today.
Yeah, he's wearing a shirt with an actual collar.
And Monday was the day we did team photos. We all
rolled out of bed.
We probably need to do some just now. Gord's here as well.
It's pretty standard about GC, though. One of the things I hate most about Gareth is that he's got Lego hair. It's like always perfect. you don't need to be so handsome, Gareth. You've done enough. Just making the rest of us feel bad about ourselves.
Crap.
I've never in my life Lego hair.
What a lot of bullshit.
Yeah, guys,
have
can
you
we talk?
Ever heard such bullshit in your life?
Sure. Just yesterday.
6 to 9 every day.
All right, we need to talk about something which I think is quite, obviously it's a big talking point around us, the whole Kendrick Lamar thing. Have you guys seen this?
No, I missed out on what? What's happening in the world?
It's okay, Mavs, I'm here to bring you all this.
We're massive Kendrick Lamar fans.
No, I actually really am. I just don't
know. No, like we are. Like Barack Obama and this whole show is a big Kendrick Lamar fan.
Okay.
And he called someone up on stage at a concert, festival he was doing, music appearance thing. And it was a white female. And they rapped the song together, but she said the N-word because he wrote the N-word and there's N-word in the song, but she said it and you can't say it if you're white. Then he stopped the music. Stopped the show.
Kendrick.
Yeah, look. You know, if you're going to put the N-word into a song and you call a fan up on stage and ask them to recite your song, a real fan will recite it word for word.
Sorry, I know you're new to this, but you need to put the headphones on so that when we play clips, then you know it's playing. So basically they were doing the song and she's up there. Obviously this is like the time of her life. She is a Kendrick Lamar fan, and then he just stops the music.
Oh, okay.
And then
Will's just really cool, bro. You have to work.
You gotta bleep one single word though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I do it?
Yeah, you did it.
I'm so sorry. Oh my god.
Should she stay up here, y'all?
Well, see, mixed reviews from the crowd is all I can say is mixed reviews, but it does. I mean, you go on to, obviously, Twitter is rampaging around this.
Sure.
Hashtag Kendrick Lamar.
Sure.
And Yvonne Chase over here, it's Yvonne Chase, actually Yvonne Chase, I don't know who she is, but she's making some points. She says, "Hey, Kendrick Lamar, if you invite a fan on stage and you don't want her to say the N-word, how about you not say it in the original lyrics? Try that next time and you'll definitely have a different outcome. She said what you wrote in your song. You can't be mad at her. Be mad at yourself. Why do you still think it's okay to use that word anyway? You seem to be a man of intelligence. I'm sure you know the pain associated with that word. Try to erase it from your vocabulary."
Blah, blah, blah. It's a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
I mean, Kendrick calls a fan on stage. It causes a little commotion. It creates a talking point. Moving on.
And
it's perfectly fine to have publicity stunts.
I love how you just see straight through the crap.
Well,
like,
I mean,
you with the Kardashians.
That's a superpower.
I know, it's something that
that makes Mabale such a great newswoman is that she's able to cut out all the fat. She just goes straight for, like, oh, I can see this is a publicity. You did this. You saw the same thing that none of us were seeing with Kanye West not so long ago when he did that whole Trump thing.
Sure.
Designer like, bullshit.
And you were like, hang on, he's launching a new product. This is what he's doing.
Well, you know, if you're a celebrity, that there's always got to be talkability about you. And I'm sure these guys have entire teams of people working behind the scenes to create that talkability. This is a nice talking point for Kendrick Lamar. First of all, it didn't sound to me like he was even upset.
Yeah.
So he stops the song and he says, oh, just bleep that one word.
Yeah.
You know? And then they keep it moving.
I got to say, though,
it's perfectly
like,
fine, guys.
If Snoop invited me on stage for a hit of the blunt and to drop a verse, I would A, be prepared as hell, and B, I would automatically just not say the N word when it pops up. I wouldn't have to think about it. I just know, like, don't do it. But then I rhyme a little bit here and there. But yeah, I would just not, it wouldn't come out my mouth.
But then wait, if you. Oh, when you are rapping to Snoop music in your car, when you're alone,
by
you
yourself,
say the word.
You're saying nigga.
Are you, Gord? Are you?
I don't know. I'll have to actually check because I'm on autopilot.
I am when I'm on my own, but I also have this automatic reflex to cut it out when I'm...
Yeah, I really do.
In a group of people. Even if there aren't black people in that group, I cut it out usually. So surrounded by anybody, it's not something I like to throw in.
I don't fault that woman at all. I just think Kendrick is making a mountain out of a molehill. Okay,
so no, he actually
isn't. It's the audience
isn't.
That did. It's the audience that were like, shame.
Kendrick is not making anything. Well, the Kendrick stops the song for dramatic effect, and then he just says to her, just bleep that one word. And now Twitter has taken over the conversation. Kendrick doesn't give a shit.
But it's your song. If this woman was standing out and was just rhyming on her own accord and she's like, yo, my... then we would
But that's
like
why
okay.
I'm saying this is likely a publicity stunt.
But it's his song.
But
I don't get
but
it.
Just in general, I mean, rules to live by, things that white people mustn't do. I mean, this is obviously top of the list, right?
Well, just I don't know. I mean, I haven't really seen that list. I don't think I need to.
Yeah, I think there's a list. I think on the list of things white people are not supposed to do, I think saying the N-word's probably on like page 2 or 3. It's in the list. But I don't think it's at the top.
Yeah, but this is bound to happen if you have different rules for different people. Just ask HF for Voot.
Yeah.
Your true story.
No, you can't have this. I mean, we've all got to stop using pejorative, ugly terms. No one should use faggot. No one should use nigger. It's just not on. It's just... We should be moving on from this stuff. It's holding us back. It's keeping us primitive. It's giving us tools to insult each other with. And while insults can be funny as long as they're not group insults that have no pertinence to the individual, I think that in this case, we've got to move away from this kind of language. I'm not going to tell rappers how to write their songs. I'm a massive fan of rap music. It's none of my business. What they do in their studio laboratory and what they come up with is usually terrific. So I have no... right to tell them to use and not use. You remember Oprah got into big fights with certain rappers because she said to them, don't
with
use
Ludacris.
This. Right.
And
not to say bitch. Mm.
And I'll tell you something. Like, I don't think bitch is that useful either anyway anymore. Yeah. I think we just got to like step aside from this stuff. But what we cannot do is develop two different streams of white people must be respectful and not use this word and black people can yep. use it and a gay guy can call himself a faggot and it's okay, but the straight people can't use faggot. It's just you're creating different streams and inevitably you're going to end up in a situation where people are just by mistake being unnecessarily disrespectful and mean to
what do you
other.
Think of
I don't
for
think
example,
disrespect is by mistake. I think it's completely intentional, and this is why words like that will never fall away from our vocabulary.
What do you think of me playfully referring to myself as a fat bastard? Because I do that all the time.
Well, but that's fine if you do it. It's the same as if Kendrick Lamar wants to use the N-word in one of his songs. It's his business. I would prefer to not use really ugly, historically weighty, pejorative terms. It's just going to get me into trouble. I know that. And it's trouble that it's a distraction. Like, the more we focus on these words... the less we actually can converse with each other as equals. Yep. That's all there is to it. Full stop. So if we're gonna pull someone, especially some white chick on there who's obviously a fan and who knows the words by heart,
yep.
She's not thinking this is an opportunity for me to be politically incorrect. She's thinking, I'm on stage with my hero.
Yeah, it's the best, and now it's a bad memory, and she'll cringe forever. But right. I mean,
she's always going to be that chick, and she's going to be taken down on social media now for being a racist and all kinds of stuff that she isn't. But these are the crude weapons we fashion to hit each other with.
But when I used to rap more as like an H or J level rapper.
That's right, Gord. Spit a rhyme. No, spit a verse.
I will if you like.
Gonja, what was your rap name?
It actually Heavy G. So I entered some rap tournaments, and the one time Proverb gave me the topic in a rap battle tournament, which I did very well in, my topic was the N-word, and I managed to rhyme for 2 minutes without actually saying it. And my final line was, "All I've got to mic and all these cats have got triggers, you want to get me killed because I said the word," and the whole audience went, It took me into my 20s, starting out with this stuff when I was like 18, and it took me, I was just normalized to say bitch, faggot. I never said the N-word. It's just what you said. You battling another MC, you call him a faggot. And I had to like counter-program myself to not do it. It's like automatic. I remember I also went on Catherine Grenfell's show to freestyle, and I just couldn't not say fuck or motherfuck because I was just so, it's so part of the instinctive reflex. So it's actually like you don't even realize you're doing it sometimes, I think, in that genre of music. It's just normal.
It's a very good point, Gord, but no one makes better points than Oprah.
Well,
it's impossible for me to do it because I know the history, and I know that for so many of my relatives whom I don't know, who I don't know by name, people who I am connected to, my ancestors, that was the last word they heard as they were being strung up by a tree.
That is why she didn't say the N-word. And that is where we're going to leave it, because it's time for the five things you need to know with Mabali Maloy today.
Did we just mic drop with Oprah?
I think we did. Well, thank you.
Duh.
No, and then you had to go and say that because you really wanted the final word.
thanks, yeah.
Oprah's moment.
Oprah and I are one. What do you mean?
Thanks for ruining my segue, my structure.
Right. Take it away, Mubs.
All right, so it's time to pack up and move house, or potentially, Parliament has appointed a service provider to conduct a feasibility study on moving the national legislature to Pretoria. Proposals to relocate Parliament from Cape Town were first mooted in the 1990s already, so it's been several years, but plans were shelved after strong opposition from the ruling party in the Western Cape province, because you know, if you're in the Western Cape, why do you want to move all the way to Pretoria? It's convenient to
Pretoria's nice.
You know, it's convenient to just drive a few minutes, but it would seem that the topic to move Parliament to Pretoria is back on the table, so yeah, potentially packing up and moving house as far as all of that is concerned. Ooh. This story breaks my heart in so many different ways. So Mpumalanga police were investigating yesterday the kidnapping of a 13-year-old boy in Emalahleni. And kidnappers left a note demanding some ransom. Oof. But you know, because we live in 2018, you can now demand ransom in the form of Bitcoin. This is after they snatched 13-year-old Katlego Maride from Emalahleni. And unfortunately, according to Brigadier Leonard Tlhati, he says that Maride's parents weren't even aware what Bitcoin is. And this is why it makes me so sad. He says a boy that was playing with his friends when a gold Toyota Corolla with three occupants stopped next to the kids who were playing. One of the men, who was dressed in black with a green jacket, grabbed the victim into the vehicle. A ransom note was left behind, and a case of kidnapping has now been opened. I'm sure you'll have the latest value for Bitcoin or of Bitcoin for us in a few minutes, Gareth. Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, like these fucking idiots can now make ransom demands in the form of fucking cryptocurrency. It's just, it's annoying.
Bad people are going to do bad things.
Always.
Whether they have cryptocurrency or not, they're going to find some way of extracting the value. I can't believe that we're still dealing with people who are kidnapping other people's children.
Yeah,
you know,
it's awful.
Sickos.
Yeah, our labor force has been ranked as the fifth hardest working in the world. This is according to a study by the Organization for Economic Cooperation Development, which shows that nearly 12% of South Africans spend more than 60 hours a week on their job. The hardest workers in the country are, of course, found in the mining and retail sectors. Laborers in more affluent provinces work less than their counterparts in poorer areas. But yeah, that ranking there putting South Africa as the fifth hardest working or workers in the world.
Well, that's finally we're getting some credit, because for so long people have been saying we're lazy, and you know, you hear these kind of word on the street people who think that they know something. They go around telling everybody, oh, you know, generally South Africans are lazy, we don't do as much work as anyone else. I think that's nonsense.
Quite surprised by that.
You're surprised that we're hardest working, or you're surprised that there are people who criticize us?
No,
for not
I'm
working?
Surprised that we're fifth in the world.
Yeah, we are.
Wow.
Who's first?
I will find those details for you, Gord. The list that I'm looking at right now just focuses on us.
It just doesn't find out who's making all the stadiums in Qatar.
No, that's probably right.
Yeah.
Yes,
those guys are the hardest workers in the whole world.
Although, if you want to compare it to that situation, you very quickly move from working to exploitation. But that's an entirely different conversation altogether.
But some people believe that the harder the work, the more you get set free, depending on where your profit lines lie.
Depending on where your profit lines lie, Ben. Thank you for adding that. And then the Ekurhuleni Metro Police have seized a significant amount of money at a house in Langeville on the East Rand, but they're unable to confirm whether it's the proceeds of cash in transit heists. And this is after three reported cash in transit heists just on Monday this week alone. And no arrests have been made, but just this big amount of cash seized. I saw on social media and in WhatsApp groups people trading pictures of, you know, all these 100 rand notes that were taken. And yeah, it just seems like a big chunk of change. And then the last thing that you need to know for now is how Avicii's family have now confirmed that the DJ will be laid to rest at a private funeral.
Who?
Avicii.
Oh. Only now?
Only now, exactly.
It's been above ground for all this time.
Yeah, what do you do with an Avicii for like a month?
I suppose you let the drugs seep out first.
Sensitive, Gareth. But I mean, people pass their expiry date after what, like 3, 4, 5 days?
It doesn't go well for the human body.
I mean, it depends what state of decomposition they were in initially when you found them as well. It gets tricky.
I presume they kept him cold though. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I'm like, if you're going to keep someone for a month, you obviously have facilities for it.
Yes, yeah, you know.
They aren't staring at the corpse every day.
But it's like a month. You bury someone quick sticks. Yeah.
So it's going to be a private funeral only attended by his close friends and relatives. It was confirmed that essentially he took his own life. That was the final report coming from investigations. So, yeah. Those are the five things that you need to know.
See, depression, and that they say that he suffered from some depression. Depression can really hit you whether you're having the time of your life on video or not. If you're Instagram happy, that doesn't mean you're happy.
And it is a thing. I mean, there's obviously ways to mitigate and lifestyle things you can do to help and getting treatment, whatever. But it is a thing. For some people, it's just like overwhelming. Was he 27?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
Because I actually watched Jordan Peterson talking to Russell Brand yesterday, and he said that there's a reason why so many very successful, very creative, and typically entertainment-oriented people, because of the amount of drugs and booze and sex that's in that, i.e. if you were a very successful banker at 27, it would be slightly different. But that's generally for people a maturation point at which you either move properly into adulthood or can't. And this is why for so many people it's like a testing time.
Oh, really?
Whoa. Yeah, and the reason he brought it up was that Russell Brand, who's now approaching 40, he decided to like sort his life out, or as Jordan Peterson puts it, decided to live at 27. And Jordan Peterson was like fairly certain that he would have died that year or in the coming year or two had he not made the decision like, oh shit, I need help, rehab, can't carry on like this. Yeah.
That sounds pretty damn interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Bitcoin is currently trading at $7,887.59. It's taken a big slide since yesterday. And Ethereum is also, obviously, as all the cryptocurrencies do when one starts to fall, down to $632.94. Let's get to Ben, see what's going on in the world of sport. And we'll take your calls, your thoughts, your messages. You know what to do. 079-748-2090. It is a Wednesday morning. Here's Ben Karpinski with the latest in the sport. Did we steal that from Supersport or what? Because then we should really get it back now.
It's one of those generic things that like sporting broadcasters without that much money buy for like a dollar or something. I think that's how it works. So last week I missed out on the story, and I do apologize to you, but Sporting Lisbon, we all know who they are, right?
Yes.
Portuguese football team. That's where Ronaldo started his career, and they're essentially the top team in Portugal. This year, though, they finished third, which means they're outside of the Champions League playoff matches. Plus, they lost the cup match last week to a very lesser sort of fancy team. Now, a lot of this could have been attributed to the fact that 50 members of a so-called gang rocked up to their training ground and kicked the living crap out of them.
Oh.
Like, where have you ever heard a story like this?
The players.
Yeah, so the players are at the training ground.
Yeah.
They're getting ready for the cup final that weekend. Suddenly, 50 masked men burst onto the training ground and literally start kicking the crap out of them. Armed with belts like the Italians and sticks, they just started beating up all the players and sort of management team. Shouting in Portuguese, we are going to kill you, you are fucked. Basically,
wow.
That's what they were going on.
Violence.
So, yeah, a lot of the players were left with sort of minor injuries. I mean, it was the general sort of gang scuffle, really. No one was stabbed, thankfully. There was nothing sharp, overly sharp used. But a lot of the players, they were like, well, what the hell is this about? This
so, if it's not disgruntled fans at Moses Mabhida Stadium, it's thugs in Lisbon. I mean.
But, Mabs, this is where the story starts to get interesting. It's turned out that these are actual Sporting Lisbon fans.
Ah.
So, the actual.
So, it's their own people.
These are Sporting's own people that have come in. This is where it gets even more sordid that apparently the president of the club, De Cavalho, Bruno De Cavalho, is been fingered as the man to have actually brought this on and planned this and
really?
Orchestrated this.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So he's known as the Donald Trump of Portugal. I'm not making any of this up.
That's a bad epithet.
Just Google.
Mention a Portuguese Donald. Imagine a Portuguese Donald Trump.
Sporting's president, Bruno de Carvalho, he has been just a real dick for quite some time now. He threatens players, he calls them out. We were saying about coaches getting fired yesterday. You know, a lot of them don't turn their wrath onto the players because it's their responsibility. This guy will call you out if he thinks you've had a cut game. But he also threatens opposition players, he's really mean to the fans, and he's just an all-round dick. Ronaldo's manager, Jorge Mendes, of course, who knows everybody in football, is literally not in good terms with this guy. And if you're not in good terms with Jorge Mendes, then you're a dick. You have to be. So this guy was normally always at the training ground at this time. On that day, where was he?
Grabbing a woman by the pusher.
Conveniently arriving.
Bullshit.
He was conveniently arriving half an hour after the perpetrators left. So allegations are rampant towards the fact that he actually orchestrated this whole thing. And more and more evidence is coming out, with one assistant coach saying he has damning evidence.
You got to catch one of the thugs and then say, we'll let you go if you give us the details, and that's that.
Well, Gord, around 23 of them were rounded up, these thugs. And there's corruption in the club. This is a dreadful story. It's dreadful in so many different ways, and for Sporting as well. Terrible end to the season. But now a lot of their best players, they quite know what they want out. Think that they've just been beaten up in their own training ground by their own fans, possibly, allegedly, sort of orchestrated by their own club president.
Wow.
The social media dickheadery, like when the stuff happened locally with the fans, and it's completely inexcusable, not making an excuse in any way, but when the social media dickheadery get political about it and start implying all sorts of shitty things, I'm like, football hooliganism's bad, but it's everywhere.
It's absolutely everywhere in the world.
The Germans attack the Brits when they go there, and this happens, and like, football violence is a worldwide thing.
But why is it a thing though? Like, how did it become like part of the sport? It's almost like a trademark of the sport.
Because football is a working class sport, and working class people have tough lives, and then they often take the soccer means more to them than it does rugby to a middle class person. Because rugby to a middle class person, or tennis, you know, to someone who's got a job, is like entertainment. But to a football fan, this is, if I grew up in Manchester, right, and I've been working in factory all my life, and then I finally get my tickets to go and watch Manchester United play at Old Trafford. It's a big thing, and they get thrashed. I take it personally because I've saved all my goddamn money for a month to go and see that match. So it's a different thing.
There's a great deal of tribalism around this. And of course, we've spoken about the whole thing about people used to have to fight every single day, whether it be in order to get food, in order to get work, or whatever it is. And it all comes back to this whole gang thing. People go to gangs because back in the day, that's what they wanted, to be part of a tribe.
And gangs have supplanted... football has supplanted gangs in places like South America.
Yeah.
So and also, you can see the direct correlation.
There's the rituals of the songs and the outfits and whatever, but it's also representative of the population. There's a certain percentage of humans are dicks, and if you've got a big enough group of people doing anything together, you're going to have a proportionately larger amount of dicks.
Right.
Yeah, well, this guy has been, like I said, referred to the Donald Trump of Portuguese football, and his reign was recently compared to the North Korean regime.
Jesus.
Portuguese President Marcelo Rebelo de Sousa, also not a big fan of this guy. He threatened to suspend 19 members of his team after a Facebook quarrel. This guy. So if you are in Portugal, stay away from Bruno de Carvajal. Not a nice guy.
I just have to mention the way Sia's face lit up when we talked about the proportionately increasing number of dicks.
I'm just quiet. I'm minding my own business in the corner here.
Yes, ESPN has released their World Fame 100 list. This is quite something. We know that Forbes does this whole sporting rich list every year, which Ronaldo wins, and then basically a whole bunch of baseball that you never heard of. Reveal to you how your life is shit. But ESPN have got a new thing where they use three interesting metrics: your Google Trend score, your social media following, plus your endorsement dollars. So it's not just about the money you bring in, it's the influence that you have. How many South African sports stars do you think are in this ESPN World Fame 100 list?
Zero.
Three.
AB de Villiers.
Yes, AB de Villiers, the sole person, and he slots in at 99.
Wow.
Oh.
At
pure guess. Pure guess.
Just made it.
AB de Villiers is the only one, the only South African on the ESPN World Fame 100 list.
Huh.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Where is he?
99.
Oh, you said 99. Sorry.
God laws.
Well, he's in India at the moment. God, I mean, 99.
Did you see Ben's apologies?
I know. Like,
he was like looking into my computer like he was in here. Like so the top, just to go around through the top 10, Cristiano Ronaldo is the top one. He's everything because he makes the dollars. People are always Googling him. Women want to see shirtless pictures of him. That Google Trend score is on the up and up.
That's an important Google search, seeing him topless.
Exactly. And his social media following on all terms is just is huge. So there he is. Second is LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Third is Lionel Messi. Fourth is Neymar. Fifth is Roger Federer. Sixth is Tiger Woods. Seventh is Kevin Durant. Eighth is Rafael Nadal. Nine is Steph Curry. And Phil Mickelson. Old bitch tits Phil Mickelson, number 10. Still bringing it in. Still bringing it on the Google
Tiger. I mean, I know Tiger's on the up and up and on an improved wicket, but like for him to still be so highly ranked, you would think.
Well,
it's surprising to me.
Legacy and the fact that he's obviously he's an icon. But what I find interesting about this whole thing, and this goes to show how India, they really make their cricketers into gods. Virat Kohli is 11th ahead of Serena Williams.
Oh.
Yeah.
What division is Kevin Durant? What sports division is he in? That's the only person I don't know in the top 10.
He's a basketballist.
Oh, let's look him up. Sure.
He's a basketballist, so naturally he's tall, dark, and handsome.
That's why we're looking him up.
Goes without saying. Goes without saying.
Some of them are very tall, white, and goofy. Those are the two kinds you get.
Yeah, but they don't really make this list. Serena Williams will not be seated at the French Open.
Oh, well, you know, that's what happens when you have a baby.
Exactly.
She's been seated already.
That's a very good point, Gord. The Russian footballers are all clear on the doping side in the FIFA World Cup. FIFA had this whole investigation because obviously Russians dope, and they've come out saying, nope, all these guys are completely fine, mostly because Russian footballers are very much down the chain as far as when it comes to excellence. So they don't even dope. They don't even waste their time. Right. What are they going to do? Fill themselves with drugs so they can be less shit? People normally dope because they want to win a medal or something. These guys aren't going to win the World Cup.
Bet you it was all a misunderstanding. Like in the 60s when the term dope started to mean good, the Russians were like, we too will be dope. Doper than the Americans. At all costs, we be doper than them.
And then they did. They started going heavy.
Yeah, the Monaco Grand Prix this weekend. We've got lots of Super Rugby, of course, to get into as of from tomorrow. And yeah, lots of golf as well. But I think we'll leave it there for today's sport. We need to get on to Sia's feature right now.
All right, let's get to Sia and hear what he has to inspire us this morning. Take it away, Sia.
Well, this morning, as much as I have great news, I would love to see the financial books of this organization, because as a charity and what they're doing, this is huge. They are a sandwich restaurant chain that hires homeless people specifically and have now gone a step further for their employees who are homeless by building their own tiny eco village for the employees to live. Listen to this. Starting next month, the sandwich restaurant has built 11 portable eco-friendly houses which will host up to 20 homeless people for 12 to 16 months. During their stay in this village, the residents will then be given essential training and education and job resources and support until they can finally be helped into permanent housing at the end of their stay. Then the cycle starts again. Another 20 residents can move move in for their own transition. I think this is amazing. They are called Social Bite. So they are based in Scotland and they have a cafe and also are a charity that has been training and hiring the homeless to work in their 6 different locations for a while now. Now, in addition to 100% of their restaurant proceeds going to charity. See why I say I'd love to see their books? Social Bite also provided over 100,000 items of free food to the homeless last year. This is
it's not a business.
It's amazing work, right. But I mean, I'd love to know how it all works.
So, I mean, like, who's running it? Do they not get paid?
Exactly.
Because if 100% of the money goes to charity, it's an NGO, so it means it needs funding from somewhere else. And if people are buying your sandwiches, you need to buy the ingredients for your sandwiches, which, I'm sorry, the guy who supplies the vegetables or the bread
is not going to be giving it for free.
I don't give a shit about homeless people. He's in business.
Yeah. I think this is truly testament to the fact that there's a bigger operation at play here. And if this is making financial sense as it is, you don't just make a decision like this willy-nilly.
So they don't get a salary, but they will get homes built for them.
Yes.
Who pays for the homes?
The Social Bite organization.
So they're not going to pay rent. They're not going to pay
not at all.
Water and lights.
They probably get sandwiches.
Yeah, I'm sure they get food.
And on top of that, it is really commendable that they get education while they're staying between 12 and 16 months. So essentially, this is an educational course for these homeless.
So what happens after 16 months? They push them out and bring in a new batch?
Yeah. So it's part of that cycle. They say, Social Bite says, they're not just building houses, but building homes. They're building a community that will provide support and enable folk to rebuild their lives. Once again, I'd love to sit down and analyze this, but if this is working for them as they're doing all of these grand things, I think it's amazing. So kudos on them.
It's kind of like a live-in internship. Basically, it's like a education, work readiness education
one.
Program.
A very costly one.
But if you're changing lives and then after 16 months you've put the homeless people back on the streets, what have you...
No. They make sure that they have housing afterwards.
But and they're trained now. They know how to make sandwiches. They can go to anyone's sandwich company and be like, yo, I got a year and a half experience.
And now I can earn an actual salary because I wasn't over the last 16 months.
Yeah.
You laugh. But
I'm not making
training.
A joke. They know they're now sandwich professionals.
Yeah. And look, how far can you extend a hand? You know, we cushioned you for 12 to 16 months. You have to stand up for yourself at some point. Mm. But yeah, isn't that something? Social Bite, if you want to do more reading on how they work. But that's your interesting said by Sia for today.
All right. Here are a couple of messages that have come in for this morning.
Do you just refer to your own feature as interesting?
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. And I say interesting as eyebrow raising. Sure, why can't I admit it's really
guys, Friday the 25th of May, that is this coming Friday, is
two days
from now.
There
Sia.
We go.
I've got
that's
this under... Sia, this is... And then interrupt said by Sia.
Interesting said by Sia.
Not much.
Fantastic said by Sia.
Eyebrow raising even.
Didn't you find it elucidating?
I can't get my eyebrow to go down.
You guys are really making me sound like Roger now, and I don't appreciate it.
My eyebrows are stuck.
So I'm turning my back to all of you and folding my arms.
All right, my Friday. Eyebrows are fixated on.
Which of yours went up, Ben? Mine was the left.
Friday, the 25th of May, is International Tacky Tax Day. It's a day to stand together and protect the vulnerable. You can choose your sticker and glitter up your tackies with our funky new shoelaces. You can get them at participating welfare organizations or order online at tackytax.org. That's TEKKIETAX.org. Leave a little sparkle with your tackies. International Tacky Tax Day, Friday, 25 May.
Excuse me.
Ben, great sport, says somebody. Amazing that you do it so well with your alphabet missing 3 letters. IPL.
Yeah, funny that, huh? Funny that.
Ben gets shit every morning.
I think that's unfair. I think his sport is very interesting. Stupid joke. I'm sorry.
Am I the only one struggling to stream through the website? Been 2 weeks I've been listening by Iona. Well, I don't know what that is because I was listening this morning on the way in and seemed fine. I tried both the website and I used our app. Both were good. So maybe it's just you, maybe a reboot. I don't know. But if you are having more problems, just email me and we'll make sure we can figure it out from our side. So gareth@cliffcentral.com. Morning, guys. After the long-awaited prosecution of Henry van Bredaar, don't you guys agree that a lot more emphasis should be placed on the psychology of these individuals?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They should psychologically analyze these people that are convicted of these terrible acts against humanity and actually see whether there are patterns or deviances in brain scans and other things, because simply locking them up to rot is such a wasted opportunity to extract some meaningful data out of these people. Same for shooters in the US.
Yeah.
Well, they should monitor them while they're locked up.
Well, that kick-ass TV show Mindhunters is about the process of starting to like analyze psycho people after they've been caught. Like, hey, we caught them, they're in the institution, they're never coming out, let's make them useful.
Do experiments. No, really, do experiments on them.
Yeah, I mean, depends what kind of experience. Like, no, psychological experiments I'm down for.
Yes, I'm not saying flay their skin off or anything. I'm saying just experiment with them in different scenarios, put them into psychological situations, get someone to do some deep, you know, tough questioning, put them on psychiatric medicine. Let's see what happens. Figure out why they have this propensity to go for the amygdala.
There's a really good book by Kevin Dutton called The Wisdom of Psychopaths, What We Can Learn from Spies.
Yes, I've got that book.
Yeah, yeah, killer book. But I mean, like, psychopathy as a psychological condition is defined by, like, a disconnect between regular people empathy and not being able to really be able to function very highly as a result of being able to put empathy aside. So the vast majority of psychopaths are actually very functional, not dangerous. They just don't feel the fear. They're CEOs, they're spies, they're brain surgeons. Ah. Like, the brain surgeon can stay completely calm because he's not fazed by having to cut a brain.
Oh. Yeah.
So that's just
a very good point. Doctors have to be.
Psychopaths are very useful for society. And that he talked about it like a dashboard with many dials, and they all turn to unusual numbers that most people are not turned to. It's only when a lot of them are in the wrong place at the same time, the dials, that you now start wanting to kill people. It's a very small percentage.
Is it a case of them getting to a point where they eventually snap?
Yeah, it can be, or it can be just that your psychopathy leans towards a hurting people bent, and then like a normal person who wants to hurt people, a psychopath will just be able to do it with calm nerves.
So it wouldn't be an outrageous statement to make when I say perhaps all of us have some level of psychopathic.
Yeah, we're all fucked.
We all do. We all do. And it's there's a normal range, there's a low range where you just can't cope, and there's a high range where you're like ice cool under situations where most people should get a little bit freaked out. It either applies to, like Gareth said, you can be the world's toughest, most ballsy stockbroker and make billions because you're willing to chuck all the chips in, or a brain surgeon, or you can murder people without breaking a sweat.
Mm. Yeah. I think it is. That's a very good suggestion, though. Here's another one. Ben, have you seen the Real Madrid mind games? They seem to think that they have already banked the cup, but I would not underestimate my Reds.
Yeah, well, obviously you can't underestimate a team. That's what every match tells you. But I think they'll win. It's going to be unfortunate, but yeah. I'm supporting Liverpool. I'll even watch the match this time.
And interesting from Carmen, she says, Avicii apparently struggled with really bad anxiety, and there's a gripping documentary in his life story, although drugs were eliminated from the story. That's interesting. I must see that.
And he had health issues, like he had pancreatic issues, like he was always sick, yeah, which can make obviously hurt a person's mental health too.
Greg says, Avicii is like a DJ Biltong right now. BBC News, apparently New York parents have sued their 30-year-old son who refuses to move out.
You could just save yourself some trouble and kick him out.
Change the locks one night when he's out.
Right.
And it's just like never let him back in.
Absolutely. Just lock the fridge.
On moving Parliament to Pretoria, says Michelle, yesterday I was caught in traffic on the opposite side of the M3 because of a huge blue light brigade. I say move it. Listen, Gareth, you're talking shit. You did just tell rappers what not to say. I'm reminded of that song by Tim Minchin, Only a Ginger Can Call Another Ginger Ginger.
Own it, take it back. I promise you
that is not what I said. If you go back and listen, I said I'm saying I wouldn't. I'm not going to tell rappers what to say.
Or anyone, just in general in life.
All right. We've also got some feedback on Gord. I got a horrible message from someone yesterday. Have you braced yourself, Gord?
Yep.
Okay. Gord, the obviously fat presenter on Cliff Central, is the biggest, fattest, illiterate human on the planet.
Mm. Wow.
Their entire crew is the best. Gord is an inconsiderate, illiterate cunt and always says things
Jeez.
Couldn't be further from the truth. No, that.
Listen.
Gosh. Oh, this is just the intro.
I don't
intro.
Know who this is, but all right, because it's one of those anonymous things that you get on social media, okay. Right? Gord, Brew, wake the F up. Stop tuning Cape Town. That's where it comes from.
Okay. Well, fuck.
Wait, there's more.
Not proving my point about Cape Townians being miserable dicks at all.
Go and swim in your beautiful Brock Dam and eat that chicken deep fried watching Bish movies. Come on, we know you like it. Gord, your intellect is worse, I think that means, than my 10-month puppy.
Was that an ironic spelling error?
Yes.
Insulting someone else's intellect, yes. Okay.
Everything you say comes from the internet. The rest is old common thought. Get a fucking life, Brew. Open your mind. This will never be shared. But hopefully someone will read this and maybe think, what the hell is this illiterate person, this one-minded cunt, doing every week on your show? You're a joke, fat man.
Well,
now we know who lost to Heavy G in the rap battle 2008 at the Purple Turtle.
Still hasn't let it go.
I can read, I can spell worse, and obviously Capetonians are very friendly, nice, lovely people. So I apologize.
You know, it's fantastic when someone has decided that they just don't like you. Like, it's just...
The fun part is watching them search for reasons.
Yes, that's what's the entertaining part.
Because they've already decided it.
Yes, they've already... Now they must justify it.
In my own defense, there's a million things to dislike about me before you call me illiterate. Like, I read and write like a motherfucker.
I mean, you actually get paid to do it.
Yeah,
you are quite smart. But Gord, let me just put it down to the bottom line.
Not smart, just well-read.
No, you are a smart individual. But none of this happened until you started spreading fake news from your grandfather.
Yes, family legacy.
It all comes back to this, unfortunately.
I will stand up for Gord. He was already interesting and entertaining and read a lot before the internet, so that's not true either.
Shit. Thanks, G.
And no. I will stand up and say the accusation that you're inconsiderate, most incorrect. You and C are one of the most considerate people on this team.
Well, guys, I appreciate you having me back.
Crack the knot in that one.
I appreciate you having my back, but the whole inviting me back all the time thing is enough for me to keep coming back and ruining that dude's Wednesday.
Gord, please drop a verse, says I Am Dipster. And public shaming a fan for some publicity is absolute shit, Kendrick. What a horrible human being. Let's call a spade a spade. Okay. All right.
So it goes like this.
Here we go.
This is verbal domination. Ooh. The bulletproof vest prevent chest penetration. I'm snapping your neck, so what's next? Annihilation. I'm leaving you dead in your tracks. We're breaking backs. We're dropping hard shit and causing heart attacks over evil tracks. Heavy G and Tripwire, we're at it again. We're stopping armies of 100,000 men, and now I'm ripping off the heads and the spines of those who battle me like forward down, forward high, punch fatality.
Oh, damn.
All right, Heavy G.
And my phone's still trying to open Instagram app so I can film that.
That rap made me want to put my hands on my knees.
All right, very, very nice. Let's get your morning off to a good start. We've got some news next. CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday morning, 23rd of May, if you're watching the clock for some reason. Maybe you need to adjust your things, like Ben said, to figure out what day you're actually listening to on the podcast. Well, that's what we're here for. And here's a song from Gord's own personal selection. It's Dr. Dre with Snoop Dogg and Still Dre.
Yeah, you see now. You see.
This is CliffCentral.com.